On November 25th, 1900, in the city of Baden-Baden, Germany, Rudolf Huss was born. Huss was raised in a very devout, but also very strict Catholic family, and his father hoped that he might one day become a priest. Any interest that Rudolf might have had in the priesthood vanished, however, at a very early age. As a devout Catholic at that time, Rudolf was in the practice of going to weekly confession, and he was very careful about confessing every sin that he was aware of. On one occasion, though, his father inexplicably found out about a sin that Rudolf had confessed. And Rudolf's only explanation was that the priest he had confessed this sin to must have broken his promise and must have violated the seal of confession. After this happened, Rudolf very understandably felt that he could no longer trust any priest, and he soon stopped going to confession altogether and soon stopped practicing his faith altogether. It's around this time that Rudolf's father also died. That might have contributed to the decline in the practice of his faith. Rudolf Huss officially renounced his Catholic faith when he joined the Nazi Party in 1922. He subsequently rose in the ranks and was eventually appointed commandant of the concentration camp Auschwitz in the year 1940. A few months after his appointment as commandant, a community of Jesuit priests from Krakow, Poland were arrested and sent to the concentration camp. The priest and leader of the community, a Father Vladislav Lone, was absent at the time when the arrest was made. But learning what happened, Father Lone broke into Auschwitz to find his brother priests and to try to secure their release. Father Lone was caught and brought before Rudolf Huss, the commandant. And although his request to release his fellow Jesuits was denied, Rudolf was so impressed with Father Lone that he let him go. During his 3 years as commandant of Auschwitz, Rudolf Huss personally oversaw the systematic gassing and execution of around 2.5 million people, including hundreds of thousands of European Jews. Although in his heart he felt at times that the orders he was enforcing were wrong, he suppressed the voice of his conscience and clung stubbornly to the Nazi ideology he allowed to infect his mind. When Rudolf was eventually arrested and imprisoned for his war crimes, he wrote a final letter to his wife and 5 children. In it, he urged them to not ignore the voice of their conscience as he had done. "In all your undertakings," he wrote, "don't just let your mind speak, but listen above all to the voice in your hearts." Rudolf's heart, which initially seemed permanently hardened and beyond any hope of conversion, began to soften during the time between his arrest and his official sentencing. He was found guilty and sentenced to be hanged in April of 1947. On April 4th, Rudolf arrived at the Polish prison where he was to await his execution. The day he arrived at the prison happened to be Good Friday, and Rudolf asked to see a priest. It took a long time for the prison officials to find a priest, however, since Rudolf Huss didn't speak Polish and the priests who lived nearby didn't speak German. Reaching back into his memory, Rudolf recalled the Jesuit priest he had once let go and whom he knew spoke German, and he recommended him by name to the prison officials. On Thursday of the following week, the Thursday of the first week of Easter, the prison officials were able to track down Father Vladislav Lohn, who was found praying at the Divine Mercy Shrine in Krakow. Father Lohn agreed to visit Rudolf Huss, and after spending several hours with him, heard his confession and officially received him back into the Catholic Church. The next day, Father Lohn brought Rudolf Holy Communion, and Rudolf Huss knelt and wept when he received the Eucharist. Acknowledging his responsibility for the crimes he committed and asking for no leniency, Rudolf eventually went calmly to his death on April 16th. Although this story and the one in our gospel are obviously different, they both involve God's inexplicable mercy to a sinner, and they involve the providence of God's timing. Like Father Lohn's encounter with Rudolf Huss, Jesus's encounter with the Samaritan woman wasn't a mere coincidence. Jesus did not have to travel through Samaria. On his journey, he was on his way from Judea in the south of the Holy Land to Galilee in the north, and like most Jews, he could have taken any number of alternate routes to go around the region of Samaria, which lay in the middle, in between Judea and Galilee. Jesus did not have to go through Samaria. And yet, if we rewind just one verse before our gospel begins, it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And he had to because it was his Father's will. His Father wanted him to go through Samaria. And Jesus' will was to do the, Jesus' food was to do the will of his Heavenly Father. From God's own divine perspective, which really isn't a perspective at all, it's simply the truth of reality, but from the divine perspective, this encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan wasn't a chance encounter. To the Samaritan woman, it must have seemed like a strange coincidence, but in fact, it wasn't. It was the Father's will that this should happen, and Jesus was obedient to his Father's will. It was also his Father's will that Jesus should show mercy to this woman. We, of course, don't know the exact circumstances of these women's five different marriages. We don't know what was or wasn't her fault, but the safe assumption is at some point there was some sin involved. Jesus came to meet her as a sinner. He came to seek and to save what was lost, to die for the ungodly, as St. Paul said. When Rudolf Huss and Father Lohn first met in 1940, they probably never expected to see each other again. Neither could have foreseen, in what seemed like a chance meeting, that they would have a future role in each other's lives. And yet, God clearly permitted this first meeting to happen, despite the horrible circumstances, so that his mercy might eventually come to and be accepted by a poor, wretched, and seemingly unforgivable sinner. The good news is that while we are still alive, there is no heart that cannot be softened, no person that is unable to repent, no sinner that is beyond the reach of God's infinite mercy. And God wants this. It is the Father's will. And like Jesus, we are called to be agents of the Father's will, and therefore agents of his mercy, special agents of his mercy. This means that we cannot believe in chance encounters. The people that God has placed in our lives are the people that we are called to show mercy to. We may not like them. We may think that they are beyond saving. But how we feel and think about them really isn't the point. God wants to show them mercy, and he wants them to accept that mercy. And so who are we to stand in the way of that? Brothers and sisters, let us strive this week to be special agents of God's mercy. Let's not believe in chance encounters, but in God's providence in bringing people together. And to all the needy people we meet this week, let us propose to them Jesus, the living water of God's mercy. Jesus as the one and the only one who can quench their thirst. Amen.